Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, the latter part of verse 10 through verse 15 from the Message Bible. Let's read together. Let each carpenter, come on out loud. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. God has a word for you today. Last week, we kicked off the series, Built to Last. We began a new series last week, Built to Last. We're going to pick it up and continue with it today. We live in a world where not much, it seems, lasts very long anymore. We live in a world where not much seems to last very long. In our world, the stories of lasting seem outnumbered by the stories of fading. We hear far more stories of fading than we do of lasting. We live in an extremely unsafe world. I believe that this generation, more than any other generation, is facing the greatest dangers of evil. And every one of those evils are designed to take us out. That we stop the race, that we no longer last. And because of this, we can find ourselves worried or wondering if we can truly make it to the finish line, if we can truly make it the full distance. Is it possible for our salvation? Is it possible for our joy? Is it possible for our convictions and our passion for Christ to last? Reflect back on your own life. Can you remember that time when you were so on fire and so passionate? Maybe it was this morning. Maybe it was yesterday. Or maybe it was a year ago. Can you reflect back on your life and remember those times when you felt the presence of God so strong, all by yourself, and just worshiping Him? Is it possible for that passion for Christ to last? Is it possible for the love of God's Word to last? Or has it just become another book and you just press through? And I'm not speaking of just barely making it, church. None of us longs for a life where our faith just barely makes it, or our marriage just barely makes it, or our family is just barely making it. I'm not talking about that. How do we last? Not just barely make it, but finish strong. Keep the fire. Shikamoto. Kanamoto. Just a few reminders from last Sunday. And you can download the podcast. I won't take a lot of time. To last isn't a matter of luck, to last is not a matter of chance. There's no chance with God. You don't go and say, I'm going to take a chance with God. Uh-uh. God is not a God of chance. To last is not a matter of luck. Staying full of zeal and vision and excitement is not a matter of personality or privilege. Staying strong and healthy is not a matter of hoping for the best. To build to last, we must realize, and we covered this last week, what you're building is only as strong as the foundation you're building on. What you're building is only as strong as the foundation you're building on. We must build every part of our lives on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That is the only foundation that comes with a lifetime guarantee. Come on, He'll never fail you. He'll never move off and leave you alone. We must build every part of our lives on Jesus. What you're building, number two, is only as good as the quality of materials that you're using. What you're building is only as good as the quality of materials you are using. We cannot build with shoddy, cheap, inferior materials on top of quality and think that we are building something that will survive the storm. We can't build on this foundation, Jesus, who is our rock. We cannot use inferior and shoddy materials and think that we're going to survive the storms of life. And thirdly, what you're building will only last if you maintain it. What you're building will only last if you maintain it. Do you remember this? For a thing to remain strong, the main thing is to maintain it. Say it with me. For a thing to remain strong, the main thing is to maintain it. And this is where we really are challenged in this area of maintaining. Now today we're going to start presenting some materials that we can use to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus. We're going to cover one this morning with you. We're going to begin presenting some materials, quality materials, that each of us must utilize in building our lives on the foundation of Jesus. Do you remember the can from last week? Do you remember the safety can? This can is 42 years old. It has lasted through dozens of small aircraft flights when we would load our aircraft down and I would fly into the unreached areas of our nation month after month, year after year, reaching the unreached people groups in our nation, taking motorcycles with us, taking the Jesus film, taking a generator, taking all of our equipment. And one of the most dangerous things that we faced is transporting fuel inside a light aircraft or small aircraft. And so we began to search and to find something that will last us, something that is extremely safe to transport all of our petrol in. And so this thing has lasted through dozens of flights, boat-to-boat rides, being hauled from one island to another, back to the mainland. It has been filled and refilled countless times. And not once in 42 years has it ever needed a part to be replaced. Not once in 42 years has this thing ever leaked. Not once in 42 years has a spring broken. When I've been deep in villages, when I've been out on the Tana River, going into places where the gospel had never been taken, not once did this thing ever fail me. Not once did it ever let me down. Amazing. This is the original handle. These are the original lock springs. This is the original seal, the seal lid. So you can turn this thing upside down. If it falls out, no problem. But what makes this piece of equipment so incredible is that it was built to last. And it was quite an investment. I had to get on my knees and ask God to give me the finances to be able to buy this piece of equipment. Because what's the most special about it? You fill this can with explosive petrol. The most flammable of all is petrol. And you fill it with petrol. This can is certified and can be placed in a fire full of petrol for 5 minutes. And it will not explode. It's certified for 5 minutes in a fire, and it will not explode. So if you can get to it, if fire breaks out around you, and if you can get to this can in less than 5 minutes, it will not explode and make everything crazy. This is the incredible part about this particular 42-year-old safety can. And this is what we use to take the gospel, to help us reach people and plant churches where the name of Jesus had never been, where the name of Jesus had never been taken. This was designed not to look good. It doesn't look that good. It's kind of, no, nothing special about its looks. But it was designed to last long. It might be chipped, which it is. It might be dented, which it is. But it is as strong today as it was 42 years ago. I want you to listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, which says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now look at me, please. What has made this safety can last is what is unseen. What's made this safety can last is what is unseen. And what will make us last is also unseen. Outwardly, you can be mocked, abused, and tested. All of us probably have some dents. We all have some chipped paint, right? We all have experienced life happening. Life has happened to us. Ups and downs, use and time have impacted us. But like the safety can, it is vital that what is on the inside not be compromised. You must be sure that what impacts us doesn't infect us. Now, what's so special and what causes this piece of equipment to be so unique and so awesome is not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And what is so costly, the reason this costs so much is not because of a strong handle and a lid and springs. Inside this can is insulation. It is insulated around the edges, on the top, under the bottom, that keeps this container from heating to the point of explosion, certified for 5 minutes. So it's not what's on the outside, as awesome as this is, never leaked one time, never popped a spring, never failed me one time. That's amazing. But the most amazing feature is what's on the inside, what is unseen. You with me? The maker of this can, of this safety can, wasn't as concerned with the outside as much as with the inside. Church, how often do we get this backwards? We can often be more concerned with how we look rather than what's going on in the unseen areas of our life. How good do I look on the outside compared to how good I am on the inside? Come on, this is the oftentimes the big struggle. How good do I look on the outside compared to how good I am on the inside? In my 60 years of following Jesus, I want to share one material, one building material with us today that has proven absolutely vital, just as this piece of equipment was vitally important in our reaching the unreached people groups. This piece of equipment, we could not have done it without this right here. And I want to share one material with us today that for Miss Amy and I has proven vital, a material upon which we have sought to build our lives. And it is integrity. Integrity. The word integrity means the state of being whole and undivided, incorruptible, soundness of moral character. The state of being whole and undivided, incorruptible, soundness of moral character. If we're going to build to last, we must be people of integrity. If we're going to last, we must be people of integrity. Integrity has often been described as who you are when no one is watching. Who you are when no one is watching. It is being whole and undivided, not one thing here and another thing there. It's being whole and undivided. It's not one set of standards for this area of my life and another set of standards for that area of my life. It's not one set of convictions for when I am with these people and another set of conviction when I am with those people. Are you listening? Integrity means the man you see standing here at church today is the same man my wife sees and the same man my children have seen in our home. I've had to be intentional. Intentionality is a huge thing with me. And I've had to be intentional that I do not undo by my living what I am heard speaking. I've had to be very intentional for the last 60 years since I've been following Jesus. I've had to be very intentional that I do not undo by my living, by my choices, my lifestyle, what I am heard speaking. This is not something I've done perfectly. I just acknowledge this before you today. It's not something I've done perfectly. By no means. By no means can I stand here today and say I've done this perfectly. But there's something I want to say to you that has become like a model for my life when Paul said, strive for perfection. Strive for perfection. He said, be ye perfect as my Father. Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And we have to strive, not with each other, but strive for perfection. I learned very early in my building of my life, building of my marriage, building of my ministry, building every facet, every aspect of my life, I learned that there's one thing that will take me out faster than anything else. It will take me out quickly is if I am not walking in integrity in every area of my life. I learned it as a young man because I had it greatly modeled before me. Psalm chapter 41 and verse 12 says, because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Listen to that. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. If we want to be upheld, we must have and keep integrity. And those are two different things, to have and keep integrity. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Do you know that integrity creates peace? It creates peace. There is no fear of being found out. Integrity creates peace. Someone once said that the greatest fear that man can face is the fear of being found out. But integrity creates peace. When we walk undivided, we walk securely. We walk confidently. Psalm 119 verse 1 says, "Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord." Integrity creates joy. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. It's truly hard to be joyful when we know things are not right, isn't it? It's truly hard to be joyful when we know that things are compromised, isn't it? But when we know that we're building undivided, it's so much easier to enjoy the building process when we know that we're building undivided. So how do I know? How do I know that I'm building with quality integrity? How do I ensure that this material of integrity is truly superior and will last? Well, to know a material or a product, to know if it's good or not, it must be tested. It goes through rigorous testing. It is inspected and held to a standard to confirm that it is superior. It must be tested. It must go through rigorous testing. It has to have inspection. After the testing, it has to be inspected to see if it has maintained its integrity. Is there any area that's been compromised? Is there any weak area that after this testing has been done that needs inspection and we need to find out? So to know that you're building with solid integrity, first, to know that you're building with solid integrity, inspect your values. Inspect your values. Come on. That's what the scripture tells us that we read. The scripture tells us to inspect. There's going to be an inspection. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. And if you use cheap or inferior materials, you will be found out. Inspect your values. Integrity is truly a matter of what we value. What do you value today? Where are your values? If it's not really of value to you, then you will not stick with it when times get tough. When the storms that test and the things that come into our lives to test us, if it's not really of value to you, you will not stick it out. You must inspect your values because values determine who you are. The story is told about a man named Hendrik Cramer. He was a remarkable Dutch missiologist, and he spent most of his mission life or most of his life, of his adult life, in Indonesia. Missions in Indonesia. And he happened to be back in his homeland, native Holland, when the Second World War broke out. The Gestapo dominated the nation of Holland, forcing Dutch Jews to places like Buchenwald and Dachau. And late one night, a group of Dutch Jew laypersons came to see Hendrik Cramer. And they said to him, "Dr. Cramer, what shall we do? Our neighbors are dying." If you study, you'll find that 73% of all Dutch Jews in Holland were murdered by the Nazis. 73%. And so this group of Dutch Jews came to Dr. Cramer, who's in Holland right now, away from his mission field, away from Indonesia. And these laypersons come to him and said, Dr. Kramer, what shall we do? Our neighbors are dying. We don't know what is going to become of us as a nation. Please, please, if you can, tell us what to do. We've got to do something, and we have got to do it now. And Hendrik Kramer said to them, I am not going to tell you what to do, but I will tell you who you are. And if you know, listen, he said to them, and if you know who you are, then you will know what to do. He opened his Bible to 1 Peter and he began to read. To these men, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, and a people claimed by God as his own to proclaim the triumphs of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Dr. Kramer closed his Bible. Do you know who you are? He asked. Then you'll know what to do. Thanking him, the group left his house. And that night, they formed the Dutch resistance. And of the 73% of Dutch Jews murdered by the Nazis, those that were remaining, the Dutch resistance hid 30,000 Jews. The Dutch resistance hid 30,000 Jews, out of which 20,000 of those Jews survived. Do you know who you are? Then you'll know what to do. Inspect your values. Number two, inspect the unseen. Inspect the unseen. When we got ready to bring our aircraft over to take it into the unreached people groups, fly it into the islands along the coast of Kenya, all along the Tana River and through those areas, we realized that we're taking our aircraft into coastal weather, into weather that the salt air can cause damage to the aircraft. And so we decided what we would do was we would go and inspect every moving part of our aircraft, and that we would go into the areas, the cabling and all the moving parts, all the important stuff that is not seen. And we went in and we changed every cable. We took out the cables that were there and we replaced them with stainless steel cables. Every cable in that aircraft, back to the rudder, all the ailerons, flaps, everything, all stainless steel cables. We took all the interior, the material in the interior, and we had the FAA come in. And they did burn tests on our material, three or four different burn tests to make certain that it passed FAA quality qualifications, so that if there was any cockpit fire, the aircraft would not catch on fire from interior, from inside. And so all of this we did because we knew we were taking it into very difficult areas. The flaps that I had on my aircraft, they were manual, just kind of like a handbrake in your car. And we were coming into land and we're flying heavy and we're flying fast. We're going for month and a half of outreach into the unreached areas. And I'm flying and about to land on a 1,300-foot airstrip with a huge tree at the end. This tree waiting for me in case it will help me stop in case I don't get stopped. And as I'm bringing that aircraft in, I want to know on every aspect of this plane that cannot be seen with the human eye, I want to make certain that it is integrous, that it has everything I need as I pull those flaps, because I'm going to put full flap on to get this plane down and to get it stopped before that tree. I want to make sure that when I pull full flaps, it's not going to break. It's not going to snap because it's rusted out. And I didn't take the time when I had the opportunity way over there. I had all the resource way over there. I didn't do it. Now I'm out in the unreached places and I need this equipment to work for me. I need it to do great. And every time, church, every time I was able to get that thing landed and stopped One time I was coming into land and I thought I knew there was no flying aids like a windsock or anything. I didn't know the direction of the wind. My last calculated wind was over the city of Malindi, and I saw a smoke fire and I saw the direction that the smoke was blowing, and I didn't see any other indicators of wind direction, and I'm landing. So I went by my last wind direction, and by the time I landed, I was now downwind and I couldn't get the plane down. The plane is, we reached the point of no return. Every flight reaches a point of no return. And I got the plane down, and as soon as I was going to touch down, the wind caught my plane. The tail of the plane came up like this, and I'm flying and heading towards that tree. And if I put power and try to take off, I'm going to crash into that tree. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm pulling those flaps. Everything's working well. And I finally got the plane down. And I realized that the grass is about this high. And when I landed, and when I got the wheels down, the propeller started cutting the grass, cutting a path through the grass, and grass is flying all up, and I can't hardly see out of the thing. And I've got the brakes locked. I've got the wheels, the main landing gear locked. And I pull the nose up and I put the back end of the plane into the ground and I'm trying to get stopped. And finally, I realized the grass is what saved us. It really saved our lives, because when the landing gear got into the grass began to pull the plane to a stop. And when I stopped and the nose came down, I was about 2 meters from that tree. You don't know what I'm saying. You have no idea what I just told you. How much we valued our aircraft for reaching the unreached, but we immediately realized that we need to inspect every moving part. We need to replace all cabling. We need to go to great lengths. We need to put this thing through its test. When we're landing on these beautiful airports in America, we need to make sure that everything is ready for what we're about to encounter and what we're about to face. Listen, thoughts, motives, attitudes, fears, search history, DMs, entertainment choices, tithing, giving, time spent in personal prayer, time spent in reading the word. Church, we need to often inspect what is unseen by others and truly evaluate if it aligns with the standard that we know is right. Remember, nothing is unseen by God. Even if we successfully hide it for a lifetime from others, nothing is unseen by God. It will be revealed one day. Finally, number three, inspect accountability. Come on, are we building with solid integrity? Well, first we inspect our values. Then we inspect the unseen. And then we inspect accountability. When we first began, we were just about to begin Nairobi Lighthouse Church. I brought my young family. I rented a house nearby over here on Kiambu Road, just off of Kiambu Road. We didn't have any furniture. We had a mattress in our bedroom. My kids had mattresses on their floors. And I'm looking for a building. I'm looking for a room to start our church. And so I'm laying on that bed one night, exhausted. The mattress with my wife were on the floor. And my phone rang. Not a cell phone. This was the landline. It was black in color, and it had a dial. I'm having to explain it for the new generation. And it's late at night and I'm exhausted. I've been trying to get everything started, ready to start this church. And my phone rings and it's my pastor, Pastor Jim Clark. Pastor Clark calls me. He had laid hands on us, sent us out. And I'm so excited. Pastor Clark, I sit up on the mattress. Pastor Clark, so good to hear your voice. And he said, hello, my brother. I said, how are you, Brother Jim? No answer. My brother, today I received a call from the bank, and you have overdrawn your account. I said, oh, Brother Clark. Oh, no, he said, my brother, in all of my years of ministry, I have never received a call from the bank. In all of my years in serving God and building churches, I have never overdrawn the account. He said, you have overdrawn the account, and I require a full explanation in writing of your actions. I began to cry. I said, Brother Clark, I'm trying to start this church. I know, my brother. We laid hands on you and we sent you out. Brother Clark, Pastor Clark, you're my pastor. Never want to do anything to embarrass you or to hurt you. I know that, my brother. Please forgive me, I have. But I have also covered your overdraft. And I want you to explain to me why you did this. I said, I will. And we hung up the phone and I laid back down on the mattress with my wife. And right there, I'm talking about inspecting accountability. Right there, I had a choice. Right there, I had a choice. Am I going to take on an attitude? I know where Brother Clark lives. He has a beautiful home in America. He drives a BMW. I'm on a mattress on the floor with my wife. My kids are on mattresses. I could have laid there and gotten such a huge attitude. I could have taken offense. But I realized this is a man who loves me. This is a man who believes in me. This is a man who's standing with me. This is a man who is molding me and helping me and bringing me to that place where I see what I'm doing and be accountable for my actions. And immediately I just lifted my hands off my mattress and I said, God, forgive me. God, help me. I wrote a full explanation to our pastor and I sent it to him. And we continued to move and walk together. Come on, I made a choice to walk in accountability and to align my life and my practices. Though it was so difficult, though it was so hard, but look what the Lord has done. I have such peace and such joy, and here you are today. We often think accountability means someone is following us up and holding us to a standard. And yes, that's an important part to it. But to come to maturity in accountability, hold yourself accountable to someone else. Sometimes we can say, well, I haven't been called by my leader in a while. Why don't you call them? Hey, I'm just checking in with you, let you know I'm still saved. I'm still following Jesus, although I'm having a few challenges. Come on, somebody. Have you called them? Have you given them an update? Who have you given permission and access to your life to keep the seen and the unseen undivided and whole? Brothers, men, listen to me, men. Any men in the house? For men, this can be harder for us in many ways. It could be harder for us. But even as men, we need to give permission to our spiritual fathers and brothers to truly walk with us. It's so vital. There's a difference between private and hidden. Not all things are for everyone. I'm not advocating that you go spill your guts to everyone. Listen, not all things are for everyone to know. But if there is something I don't want anyone to know, that could be a red flag. Miss Amy and I have walked this out from the time we began this church, even before. Miss Amy and I have two presbyters. They are overseers of our lives, and they're overseers of our ministry. We have had presbyters since the start of this church, and I hold myself and my personal life and my ministry life accountable to these men. The first is Pastor Larry Stockstill. Pastor Larry Stockstill and I have been walking together since we both were teenagers. Pastor Larry's wife and my wife were the closest of friends before we even married. And Pastor Larry, he called me about a week and a half ago. He spent an hour on the phone with me. He asked me questions. He wanted to know what's going on. He talked to me. He prayed with my wife. He spent time ministering to my wife, talking to her about some of the struggles and some of the challenges. Pastor Larry Stockstill, mighty man of God. Pastor David Briggs is my second presbyter. Pastor David is an incredible, incredible man of God with unbelievable wisdom. And God has joined us together. And these men, I have opened my personal life to them. I've allowed them to walk with me and speak into my life and hold me accountable. And I hold myself accountable to them. You just know, if you're a member of Nairobi Lighthouse Church, they hold me accountable in three areas. Number one, morally. They hold me accountable and I hold myself accountable morally, financially, doctrinally. If next week I take off with all the finances of Nairobi Lighthouse Church and I go to the coast and you see me no more, they will be here. They will come here. They will deal with the situation. If I stand up and speak some crazy doctrine and start teaching you some off-the-wall doctrine, they will be here. These are the men who I hold myself accountable to. And they are free at any time to come in and look at anything, look at any aspect of our church. No man is an island. So I hold myself to Pastor Stockstill and Pastor David. I have Pastor Nelson, whom God has used many times to speak into my life as a brother, as a friend. I have my cell group, whom I open my life to, and who are witnessing how I live. Am I punctual? Am I communicating well? How is my deportment? I have a board, Nairobi Lighthouse Church board, and accountants as well, who have always been given access to all aspects of our church life to ensure that there is integrity in every area of how this ministry is being led. And if they have any issue, they can call my presbyter. If they see anything wrong and anything I've done wrong in the accounts or any area,
they can. I'm under authority. My passwords to all my I devices are known by my wife. My financial accounts, known to my wife. In fact, we only have one account together. We don't have separate bank accounts. We have one account. She knows all the passwords and codes. Why? Why do I do this? Because I want to last. Why do I do all this? Because I don't want the unseen to take me out. I don't want to apply the flaps in that critical stage and a cable snap. Because I want the peace and the joy that comes with true integrity. I want to last. Because I've wanted to live a life that is whole. And whenever I've not done so, I've endeavored to repent quickly. Come on, men. All of us, even women, we have to repent quickly. None of us will get this right every time. None of us will get this all right every time. You're going to bounce a landing every now and again. You're going to hit the bounce and go all over. But stay the course. Stay the course. Come on. Inspect the integrity with which you are building your life. Ensure it is quality. Ensure that it will withstand the inevitable fires, the droughts, the seasons, the use, the time, and the realities of life. If something needs to be adjusted or renovated, when it comes to integrity, then do it. We're built to last. Come on, can we give Jesus praise and give him honor and give him glory today? I love it. Jesus himself demonstrated accountability when he said, I only speak those things which I hear my Father say. In another place, he said, I only do those things which I see my Father doing. If Jesus, the head of the church, displayed such accountability, we who are members of his church, submitting our life to him, we must display accountability first and foremost to him, the head of the church, bowing our knee to him. I want you to lift your hands with me. Holy Spirit, look inside me right now. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, search me. Holy Spirit, search me. Where do I need to change? Holy Spirit, work inside of me. I want to last. I want to make heaven my home. Holy Spirit, deal with me. Inspect every area of my life, my thoughts, my attitudes, my actions, my words. Come, Holy Ghost, right now and work inside of me. I need you. I want my life to bring honor and glory to you. I want to last. I want my marriage to last. I want my life to last, my family to last. I give you the glory. I give you the praise. Change my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.